Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. I like that sign that I've seen on the lawns of some churches. Jesus is the reason for the season. And I'd like us to think about what Christmas is about today. I'd like us to look at four different scenes. We can imagine a humble house in an out-of-the-way village called Nazareth, a girl perhaps bending over her work, and suddenly into that humble room a light shines, and she looks up, surprised, and there's a dazzling stranger standing there, and he has a very puzzling greeting. He says, "Greetings to you, Mary, O favored one. The Lord be with you." It must have surprised her that this stranger knew her name, and what could this greeting possibly mean? And the scripture says that she was deeply perturbed, or perhaps stunned, troubled by this visitor and his strange message. But she was a woman of deep thought and deep silence, and she discerns that there is something here much larger than herself at stake, something beyond her understanding. What can it possibly mean? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God loves you dearly. You are going to be the mother of a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be known as the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather David, and he will be king over the people of Jacob forever. His reign shall never end." There were certainly some clues in there as to the extraordinary nature of this child, weren't there? She's going to be the mother of the Son of the Most High, and his reign will never end. And she has just one question, a very simple question, a very practical question. How can this be? I'm still a virgin. The angel doesn't explain. He simply states a mystery. He says, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." That's not really an explanation, is it? It simply is a statement of a mystery. Your child will therefore be called holy, the Son of God. Your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son, old as she is. Indeed, this is the sixth month for her, a woman who was called barren. For no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. And so in the space of perhaps a minute or two, Mary has learned about two incredible miracles. And what's her response? What about my marriage plans? What about Joseph? What am I going to say to explain to him? What will the people in the town think? What will my parents think? Won't I be stoned to death? I'm a Jewish girl, and Jewish law requires that a fornicator be stoned to death. She doesn't talk about her inconveniences or her plans or her broken engagement. She says, "I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen as you say." An act of utter and unconditional surrender. Here I am. I am the Lord's servant. Scene 2. We find Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth recognizes, by the manner of Mary's greeting and by her own baby's sudden movement in the womb, that God has chosen Mary to be the mother of the Lord. Have you ever wondered how Elizabeth figured all that out? Clearly it must have been revealed to her by God, the manner of her greeting and the movement of the child in her womb. How could that tell her that Mary was to be the mother of the Lord? And what happens next? Mary sings a glad and thoroughgoing acceptance of God's gift. Her song is known now as the Magnificat, and these are the words in modern translation: "My heart is overflowing with praise of my Lord. My soul is full of joy in God my Savior, for he has deigned to take notice of me, his humble servant. And after this, all the people who ever shall be will call me the happiest of women. The one who can do all things has done great things for me. Oh, holy is his name. Truly his mercy rests on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has swept away the high and mighty. He has set kings down from their thrones and lifted up the humble. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. Yes, he has helped Israel, his child. He has remembered the mercy that he promised to our forefathers, to Abraham and his sons, forevermore." Mary obviously knew the scriptures, didn't she? And Mary was prepared to receive whatever God wanted to give her, with no explanations, no predictions of all that it was going to cost her. Her simple, wholehearted acceptance: "Here I am, Lord, I am your servant. Anything you say." What is it that he wants to give you today? Well, God's gift cost Mary a great deal, didn't it? Scene 3. The scene is not really described in detail, but we can only imagine this young woman kneeling, perhaps sweating in the cold stable, giving birth to the Son of God and the Son of Man. I've lived with primitive peoples, and usually they kneel and hold on to perhaps a rope tied to a rafter overhead. She was laying her life on the line, as every mother does when she gives birth to a child. There she was amid the animals of the barn, perhaps cows, sheep, donkeys, the doves up in the rafters, maybe a rooster. And then when the child is born, the shepherds arrive, breathless, wide-eyed, and tell their story of the angels' appearance and their song. Mary doesn't say a word. She's quiet, treasuring these things in her heart. And then the mysterious travelers from the east arrive. We don't know when that was, probably not in the stable. Again, Mary is silent. Then scene 4, the donkey, en route to Egypt. Her husband had received a secret message in a dream. No arguments. They go to Egypt because God has sent them. And then scene 5, the beautiful scene in the temple when they take the child up to carry out the Jewish law of purification and circumcision. An old man has been led there by the Holy Spirit. His heart was open, and it had been revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. So when he went into the temple and he saw the parents with this little child, he recognized that this was the Lord's Christ. He blesses the child. He tells the Lord, "Now you can let me go in peace." But he gives Mary this message: "This child is destined to make many fall and many rise in Israel, and to set up a standard which many will attack, for he will expose the secret thoughts of many hearts." Can you imagine getting a message like that about your newborn child? He's going to make many fall and many rise. Many will attack him. He will expose the secret thoughts of many hearts. And then to Mary he says, "And for you, your very soul will be pierced by a sword." I want to read to you Richard Crashaw's beautiful expression of the humiliation of the Son of God in being born in this manner. Crashaw lived back in the 17th century. "That the great angel blinding light should shrink his blaze to shine in a poor shepherd's eye. That the unmeasured God so low should sink as prisoner in a few poor rags to lie. That from his mother's breast he milk should drink, who feeds with nectar heaven's fair family. That a vile manger his low bed should prove, who in a throne of stars thunders above. That he whom the sun serves should faintly peep through clouds of infant flesh. That he, the old eternal word, should be a child and weep. That he who made the fire should fear the cold. That heaven's high majesty his court should keep in a clay cottage, by each blast controlled. That glory's self should serve our griefs and fears, and free eternity submit to years. Let our overwhelming wonder be." That's what Christmas is about.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.